Let's start Rav Yehuda ben Maaser Omer. So we had been talking about, starting in the Mishnah, we had been talking about when it is that you start to say Mashiv HaRuach Umorid HaGeshem. We had a few opinions in the Mishnah, and then we quoted a Braisa just before this, in which we added a few more opinions. So to review, the Mishnah we had with the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, who said that you start Mashiv HaRuach Umorid HaGeshem from the first day of Sukkot, Yom Tov Rishon Shel Chag. Then we had the opinion of Rabbi Yoshua, again in the Mishnah, which said that we start from Yom Tov Achron Shel Chag, from the last day of Sukkot. And now in the Braisa we added two more opinions. First is Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra, who says that we start on the second day of Sukkot, and the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, who says that we start on the sixth day of Sukkot. And the Gemara now is going to derive the source for the opinions of Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra and Rabbi Akiva. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda ben Maaser Omer, B'sheni b'chag humazkir. You start on the second day of Sukkot. My time with Rabbi Yehuda ben Maaser. Why does he choose that day? D'tanya, it's based on the Braisa. Rabbi Yehuda ben Maaser Omer, Nemar b'sheni, when it talks about the various karbanos and the nisach hamayim, nisach hayayin, on the various days of Sukkot, so on the second day it says, v'niske hem. Rashi points out that the mem is an extra letter. It could have just said biniska, then v'nemar b'shishi, and then on the sixth day it says unisacheha. The yud is an extra letter, v'nemar b'shvi, and on the seventh day of Sukkot it says kamishpatam. The mem is an extra letter, and so you have three extra letters spread out over these 3 days. Hare mem yud mem, which spells out mayim. Hare kan mayim. Mikan remez l'nisach hamayim min haTorah. This is a hint to the idea of Nisach HaMayim, the special water libations that they used to do on Sukkot. This is a hint to it in the Torah. We're going to see on the upcoming Amud that Nisach HaMayim is actually Ha'alacha Moshe Misinai, so it's not derived directly from the Torah, but here is a hint to Nisach HaMayim min haTorah. Umayshna b'sheni dinakat, d'chirim izolei b'kra b'sheni hu d'rim izi hokach b'sheni madkarina. And so Rabbi Yehuda ben Maaser says that we attribute special significance to the fact that this hint to Nisach HaMayim starts out on the second day, right? That's that first mem is on the second day, and that's why Rabbi Yehuda ben Maaser holds that we start saying Mashiv HaRuach Umorid HaGeshem, which is tied thematically to Nisach HaMayim. They both have to do with water. We start that on the second day as well. That's sort of his source for starting Mashiv HaRuach Umorid HaGeshem on the second day. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Bishishi Bechag Humazkir. So Rabbi Akiva says that we start saying Mashiv HaRuach Umorid HaGeshem on the sixth day of Sukkot. How does he know that? Shenemar Bashishi, because it says on the sixth day, Unasacheha, right? He has that same Mem Yud Mem that Rabbi Yehuda ben Maaser had, but he focuses on the last iteration, the last letter. It says, Unasacheha, not the last one, I'm sorry, the middle one, the Yud. So Nusachel is plural, right? And so that hints to the fact that there are two nisachs, two libations that the pasuk is referring to, or that the Torah is referring to. Echad nisach hamayim ve'echad nisach hayayim. One to nisach hayayim, to the wine libations, and one to the water libations. Ve'ema tarvayu dechamra. So the Gemara suggests, how do you know that one is water and one is wine? Right, usually when we have nisachim in the Torah, we have wine libations, nisach hayayin. So maybe it's just referring to the nisachah, the plural is referring to the fact that you have two wine libations on Sukkot. So the Gemara answer is Savar lak Rabbi Yehuda ben Maaser. So he says here he borrows the limud of Rabbi Yehuda ben Maaser, Damar Mizimaya. As we just said, we just saw that Mem Yud Mem, he derived, or he said from there that we see that the Torah is referring to Mayim, Mem Yud Mem. And that's how he knows that the second libation is a water libation. It's a nisach hamayim. So the Gemara then says, "Isavra," at the very top of the Gimel Manav, "Isavra lak Rabbi Yehuda ben Maaser." Gemara says, "Well, if you're already going back to Rabbi Yehuda ben Maaser, if Rabbi Akiva is borrowing from the limud of Rabbi Yehuda ben Maaser, nema kavasei. Why don't we just say that he holds like Rabbi Yehuda ben Maaser, which is to say that the Mashiv HaRuach Umorid HaGeshem starts on the second day, if he's adopting his shita to derive mayim. So Gemara answers, Kasavar Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva holds, Kikasiv Nisuch Yisera Bishishi Hu Dechsev. It's true that Rabbi Akiva held of this idea of mem yud mem, but he was attracted to the idea, Rabbi Akiva was attracted to the idea that on the sixth day is the day that that's kind of a special day in the Limud here. It's not just an extra letter in the Pasuk, but it's focused in on the fact we learned this that's the actual source for Nisach HaMayim in a sense. Right? That's the day where we have the plural, and that's the day where you learn there's an extra Nisach, and so that's the day that he highlights, and therefore Rabbi Akiva holds that we start Mashiv Baruch HaMeregeshem from the sixth day of Sukkot. Okay, now the Gemara is just going to throw in an alternative derivation of Nisach HaMayim, Tanya, based on a brayser. Rabbi Nasan Omer, Bakodesh HaSeich Nesech Shechar LaShem. So the Pasuk in Bamidbar says that you do Nisach, B'shnei Nisuchim HaKasav Medaber, right? It says HaSeich Naseich, it's a double Lashon. And so that teaches you that there are obviously two libations going on. Echad Nisach HaMayim ve'echad Nisach HaYayim. Teach you that you do a wine libation, a nisach hayayin, and also a water libation. So Gemara then says, Ema tarvayu dechamra. Why do you think that one's wine and one's water? Maybe the fact that there's a plural of nisach, or there's a double nisach, just means that you do two wine libations, two nisach hayayins. The Gemara answers, Imkein lichtov kra, o haseich haseich. Oh, naseich, naseich. It should have just done a double lashon that just repeats itself if it was two of the same types of nisach. Why, my haseich, naseich? Why does it change it from haseich to naseich? Why does it do a double lashon, but that's slightly off? Shmat mino achad demai v'chad dechamra. To teach you that they're slightly different. One is a wine libation, and one is a water libation. Good. That's just a little sidetrack. Now the Gemara is back to the so far a four-way machlokas as to when you start Mashiv Aruch Umarit HaGeshem. The Gemara says, what about the Mishnah in Sukkah, which says the following, Nisach HaMayim Kol Shiva. So the Mishnah in Sukkah says that Nisach HaMayim takes place for a span of 7 days, all 7 days. So the Gemara is going to try to figure out now, is that consistent with all the shitas, or better yet, which shita is that consistent with? Now Rashi on the side points out that the easiest answer here is Rabbi Eliezer, right? Rabbi Eliezer held that Mashiv Aruch Umarit HaGeshem started on day one, and so to say that Nisach HaMayim goes for all 7 days works perfectly with Rabbi Eliezer. That's the easiest answer. And so Rashi says the Gemara knows that Rabbi Eliezer fits easily into there. The Gemara is now asking, what about the other shitas? Which of the other shitas are consistent with this Mishnah? So the Gemara says, Mani, which of the other shitas are consistent with this Mishnah? Rabbi Yoshua, again, Rabbi Yoshua was the one who said, Yom Tov Achron Shel Chag. Rabbi Yoshua, Neima Chad Yuma. Right? He only has 1 day left. He starts on the last day of Yontif, so he's got 1 day. So it's hard to imagine. And the Gemara here is assuming that the days on which we do Nisach HaMayim corresponds to the schedule for when we start Mashiv Aruch Umarit HaGeshem. Because again, we've assumed in many places, just talking in the last several lines, that thematically Mashiv Aruch Umarit HaGeshem, davening or mentioning Gvuras Geshamim, is consistent with the idea or the theme of Nisach HaMayim. So the Gemara says, if it's Rabbi Yoshua who held that Nisach HaMayim starts, or that Mashiv Aruch Umarit HaGeshem starts on the last day, so then it's going to be hard to understand how you can be doing Nisach HaMayim all 7 days. You don't start Mashiv Aruch Umarit HaGeshem until the last day. Rabbi Akiva is the one who said that it'd start on the sixth day, so then Treyumi, so they only have day six and day seven. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, Shisayumi. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira was the one who held that you start on the second day, so then you have 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. You only have 6 days. And so the Gemara is having a hard time understanding which of these shitas fits in neatly with the idea that the Mishnah said, which is that Nisach HaMayim runs for 7 days. So the Gemara answers, Li'olam Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira. Really, it's Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira who said that you start Mashiv Aruch Umarit HaGeshem on the second day, Visfirle Krab Yehuda Demas Nisan. And he holds like the shita of Rabbi Yehuda in the following Mishnah. Ditnan, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Belug hayamenaseich kol shmona, umafik rishon, umayol shmini. So he says that He says that Belug hayamenaseich kol shmona, that they would do nisach all 8 days. Umafik rishon ma'ayol shmini. So in other words, the Gemara now is decoupling the idea that the day that you start Mashiv Baruch HaMerah Geshem is the same day that you do the Nisach HaMayim. The Gemara now says, Umayishna rishon delo dechirunizi maya. I'm sorry, Umayishna rishon delo dechirunizi maya b'shemi. I lost the flow here. Detan Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Bologai Menasa Koshmona, Mafik Rishon, Mayel Shmini. Maishna Rishon Delo. Why not on the first day? I'm sorry, why don't you say Mashiv Haruach Amerta Geshem on the first day? Dilchim Remizi Maya Besheni Yehuda Remizi. So the Gemara is rejecting this because it's saying that if you hold.
They don't think it's rejected yet.
Yeah, the Gemara is rejecting it's rejecting the idea that it's Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra.
No, they didn't ask the question. Shmini Nami, that's the question, right? Shmini Nami? Can you
mizi mayim? No, he's saying, why don't you start on the 6th day instead of the 2nd day, because the 6th day also mentions the Nisach HaMayim. Just asking on his...
Fine. The Gemara is rejecting it because it says on the 7th... If you're tying it to the Mashiv Baruch HaMerah Geshem, so you should start then on the 2nd day. So what then on the 7th day? So the Gemara is going to reject this. The Gemara is going to say El Rabbi Yoshua. The Gemara is going to go back to the idea that it's Rabbi Yoshua. And again, Rabbi Yoshua was the one who said Yom Tov Achron Shel Chag. If you start Mashiv Baruch HaMerah Geshem on the Achron Shel Chag, on the last day. Well, how then could you have Nisach HaMayim Kol Shiva? Gemara again says it's not connected to Mashiv Baruch HaMerah Geshem. Nisach HaMayim Kol Shiva Hilchasa Gemirlei. And he just has a tradition, right, of Halacha Moshe Misinei, we'll see in a moment. He has a tradition that Nisach HaMayim goes for all 7 days. Notwithstanding the fact that he holds Mashiv Baruch HaMerah Geshem, you don't start mentioning until the last day. Dam Rabbi Ami, Am Rabbi Yochanan, Mishurim, Dechumya, Ish Bigas, Beis Chorton, Eser, Netios, Arava, Nisach HaMayim, Halacha Moshe Misinai. So he is based on this idea that Nisach HaMayim is Halacha Moshe Misinai, along with these other two concepts that are also Halacha Moshe Misinai. One is Eser, Netios, which has to do with when you start observing the laws of Shvias for a certain type of field, depending on the depending on how closely plants are planted in this field. So if it's Eser Netios within a base saw, you start the halachos of Shvias just before the year of Shvias. Arava, the idea that we go around the Mizbeach with the Aravos, that's also Halacha Moshe Misinai. And Nisach HaMayim, the whole concept of Nisach HaMayim, as we mentioned before, is not something that's specified in the Torah. We just mentioned we have a hint to it in the Torah from the Mem Yud Mem, but the base halacha is halacha l'moshe mi Sinai. And so he says that since this is halacha Rosh Hashanah, it's not necessarily tied to when it is that you start Mashiv Baruch Amir Nageshem, and that's why he can still be consistent with the Mishnah that says Nisach HaMayim Kol Shiva. Okay. The Gemara now quotes back to the Braisa we had before, or actually now to the Mishnah, where we said, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Mishum Rabbi Yoshua, Ha'over Lifnei HaTeva Biyom Tov Ha'achron Shel Chag. So the person, and now we're talking within Shitas Rabbi Yoshua, which says that you start Mashiv Baruch Amir Nageshem on the last day of Yontif, right? So he says now that the Chazan on the last day of Yontif, Ha'achron Mazkir, as we had pointed out before, Ha'achron Mazkir, meaning the Chazan for Tfilas Musaf, he says Mashiv Baruch Amir Nageshem on the last day of Sukkot, Harishon Eino Mazkir. But when you're still saying Shachris on the last day of Sukkot, you don't mention Mashiv Baruch Amir Nageshem. B'yom Tov Harishon Shal Pesach, this is the point in the year where you're going to stop saying Mashiv Baruch Amir Nageshem. Harishon Mazkir, so at the time of Shachris, still in the morning, you're going to mention Mashiv Baruch Amir Nageshem. Ha'achron Eino Mazkir, by the time you get to Musaf, the Baal Musaf is going to not mention Mashiv Baruch Amir Nageshem. So the Gemara now says, Hi Rabbi Yoshua. Which Rabbi Yoshua are we talking about? Yuema Rabbi Yoshua Demas Nisan. If we're talking about the Rabbi Yoshua Demas Nisan, Ha'amar Biyom Tova Achron Shel Chag, Humazkir. The Rabbi Yoshua that we quoted in the Mishnah said that you start saying Mashiv Baruch Amir Nageshem on Yom Tov Achron Shel Chag, which Rashi points out here refers to Shmini Atzeres, which is what we do, right? Shmini Atzeres, the very last day of the series of Yontif, of Sukkot and Shmini Atzeres. So that's when Rabbi Yoshua, in the Mishnah, said that you start, right? Moreover, he doesn't distinguish, at least if you read the Mishnah straight, he doesn't distinguish between Shacharis and Musaf. So if it's the Rabbi Yoshua in the Mishnah, the very beginning of the Mishnah, the Gemara says, that can't be this what Rabbi Yehuda is quoting in Mishum Rabbi Yoshua, because Rabbi Yoshua in the Mishnah sounds like he's holding that the entire day of Shmini Atzeres, you're going to say Mashiv HaRuach Amir Nageshem. You don't just start at Musaf. Ella Rabbi Yoshua de Braisa. So maybe it's the Rabbi Yoshua of the Braisa that we had in the middle of Beis Amud Beis. But that can't be, because he said Ha'amar Mishas HaNachaso. That Rabbi Yoshua, we attributed to him the Shita that you begin Mashiv HaRuach Amir Nageshem from the time you put down the Lulav, which is the seventh day of Yom Tov, right? The equivalent of Har Hoshana Rabbah, because the seventh day then was in Eretz Yisrael. But Mishas HaNachaso from the day you put down the Lulav. So we're trying to again still figure out which Rabbi Yoshua is it that Rabbi Yehuda says that on the last day of Yontif you start at Musaf and not at Shacharis. And then while we're asking questions about this, Visu, the Gemara throws in a third question. Hadatanya Rabbi Yehuda Omer Mishun Ben Beseira. We have another Braisa that we haven't seen yet, I don't think, where Rabbi Yehuda quotes someone named Ben Beseira who holds Ha'over Lufnei Ateva Biyom Tova Achron Shel Chag. Ha'achron Shel Chag, the Chazan on the last day of Yontif, of last day of Sukkot, Ha'achron Mazkir, the last one mentioned. So it's similar to what Rabbi Yehuda just said in the name of Rabbi Yoshua. So, Hai Ben Beseira, which Ben Beseira are we talking about? Iwema, Rabbi Yehuda Ben Beseira, the only Ben Beseira we know of in our discussion has been Rabbi Yehuda Ben Beseira. Which day did he say you start Mashiv Baruch Amir Nageshem? He said you start on the second day, so that's right. We're way off here. Ha'amar b'sheni b'chag hu mazkir. He said that you start Mashiv Baruch Amir Nageshem on sheni b'chag. So we're all confused as to which who Rabbi Yehuda is quoting, either quoting Ben Beseira or quoting Rabbi Yoshua. What's going on here? So Amar of Nachum bar Yitzchak. So he's going to clarify it, and the Girsa changes to Tarvayu here. Amar of Nachum bar Yitzchak Tarvayu Rabbi Yoshua Ben Beseira. So we're not talking about Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira. We're not talking about Rabbi Yoshua. We're talking about a different person altogether, Rabbi Yoshua ben Beseira. And Zimnin Dekarilei Bishmei, sometimes he's referred to as Rabbi Yoshua. V'zimnin Dekarilei Bishmei Da'aba, and sometimes he's referred to as ben Beseira, but it's the same person. And he's the one who holds that you start on the last day of Yontif, and the Musaf is the one who starts it. And some, when they called him by his name, Rabbi Yehoshua, that was when he himself had gained prominence after he had achieved, after he had been given smicha. That's when they called him by his name. And when they called him Ben Becerra by his father's name, that's when he hadn't yet achieved prominence. That was before he received smicha. But again, it's the same person, and that's the Tana who we're saying holds that you start at Musaf on the last day of Yontif. Okay. We've cleared up all those shitas. We've cleared out when you start Mashiv Ruach HaMer Geshem. Now the Gemara is going to get into a little discussion about what it is specifically that these mentions of Geruas Geshamim talk about. We've been talking about Geshem specifically, but what about the Tal, and what about the Ruach? Let's see now. Tanis, we have a brisa that says, "Betal uberuchos lo chayvu chachamim lahazkir." So this brisa is saying that the main topic of Mashiv Ruach HaMer Geshem is the Geshem, is the rain. That's the most important thing that we're focused on. Not the tal, not dew, and not ruchos, not wind. Even though there are some iterations of Mashiv Ruach HaMer Geshem that mention ruchos and mention tal, right? Sometimes we say Morid HaTal when we're not saying Mashiv Ruach HaMer Geshem, according to Nusach Sfard. We say Mashiv HaRuach HaMer Geshem, so that's mentioned also. But this price is clarifying the important thing is the Geshem. Because tal and ruchos, lo chayvu chacham lahazkir, that's not mandatory. Vimbo lahazkir mahazkir. But if you do mention that, that's okay. That's okay. My taima, why is that not mandatory? Why is not that why is that not the main topic of Mashiv Ruach HaMer Geshem? Amar Rabbi Chanina lefisha ein netzarin. Because those never stop. Meaning Geshem is something that's up to the Ribono Shel Olam, depending on our tefilos. But we could pretty much be certain that Tal is always going to be there. No matter what, Tal is going to be there, and no matter what, the winds are going to be there. You don't have to worry about that. You don't have to daven for that. How do we know this? V'tal minolon d'lametzar. How do we know that the dew never stops, that the dew is consistent, it's always there? D'chsiv. Because we have a pasuk in Malachim Aleph. This is talking about a time when Eliyahu, this is the time of Achav. Achav was a really bad guy. He introduced Avodah Zarah. He introduced Avodah Zarah, and Eliyahu HaNavi came, and he started telling Achav Nevuos about how Hashem would stop the rain from coming as a punishment to Bnei Yisrael for worshiping Avodah Zarah at that time. And what does Eliyahu say? Vayomer Eliyahu Atishbi Mitosh VeGilad Al Achav. He says to Achav, Chai Hashem Elokei Yisrael, in the name of Hashem, Asher Amadati Lefanav, that I stood before him. That unless I say so, in other words, unless I give the go-ahead, unless I decide affirmatively to give tal umatar, rain and dew, to Bnei Yisrael, it's going to not appear. Right? Meaning you risk, by introducing Avodah Zarah to Bnei Yisrael, you're risking, or you've already threatened now, the fact that the rain and the dew are going to come. And then a few psukim later it says, in the next parak, it says, Uksiv, Lecherao Achav et Namatar al Pneho Adama. So he says, I'm going to give rain on the ground. Meaning at this point, the Kala relents and the Hashem relents and gives rain to Bnei Yisrael. Vilu Tal lo ka'amarle. But in the second iteration here, he doesn't mention tal, right? So again, at the beginning he said, I'm not going to give rain or dew unless I say so. And then he says, okay, I'm going to relent and I'm going to give the rain. V'yu tal lo kamra, but he doesn't say, I relent, I'm going to give the dew. My taima, why is that? Mishum d'lo me'atzer, because it never had stopped. Even though originally he had threatened to withhold the tal and the mutar, the rain and the dew, in fact, the rain stopped, but the dew didn't stop. So the Gemara then says the obvious question, V'chi me'acher du'lo me'atzer, if that's true that the tal never stopped, why then in the first pasuk did he mention the tal and the mutar, both the rain and the dew, as items that were threatened to be withheld? V'chi me'acher du'lo me'atzer, Eliyahu ishtabu'i lamalei. Why did he even swear? Why did he mention this in the klala that both of them would stop? So the Gemara answers, Hachi Kamerlei. What he really meant to say was, Afilu Tal de Bracha Namilo. So the Gemara here is saying that there are two types of Tal. There's the Tal that you could always depend on. The Tal is always going to be there. But it doesn't always have that effectiveness of nourishing the ground, right? Maybe it's the amounts, or maybe it's the type, I'm not sure. But Tal de Bracha is what he was threatening to withhold. So then the Gemara answers, then why in the second pasuk doesn't he mention that he's restoring the Tal de Bracha, that specific Tal that he threatened to withhold? The Gemara answers, Mishum Dulo Minkra Milsa. The Gemara answers, because Achav wouldn't have appreciated the difference between Tal de Bracha and regular Tal. He saw Tal straight through. And so if Eliyahu would have gotten up and so triumphantly declared, I'm restoring your rain and I'm restoring your Tal, so Rashi points out, Achav would have kind of been all confused and mocked that suggestion, because he would have said, what are you talking about? The Tal was always here. This doesn't make any sense. And so therefore, at the second iteration, when he mentioned the restoration of the Tal and the Mutter, he just focused on the Mutter, because that was noticeable to Achav and noticeable to everyone that the rain was being restored, even though there was a more sublime restoration in the form of Tal de Bracha that had been withheld during the time when the Mutter was also withheld. Okay, so that's Tal. That's Mutter. I'm sorry, that's Tal. Now the Gemara says, Ruchos minalan du amatsri. How do we know that wind doesn't stop, that we could always depend on the wind being there? Amar Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, de Amar Kra, ki ka'arba ruchos ha-shamayim pirashti eschem nu ma'ashem. Pasuk in Zechariah says that I have spread you out like the four winds of the sky, of the heavens. So my ka'amar luhu, what does this mean? Maybe it means the following, that Hashem was saying to Bnei Yisrael, that I've scattered you out like the four winds. I'm sorry, that I've scattered you out like the four winds in the world. If that was what it meant, it should have said ki'arba, right? Ki'arba, why does it say ki'arba bi'arba mi'boyle? It should have said that I've scattered you out in the four directions, right? So what does ki'arba mean? Elahachi ka'amar, it really means k'shem she'yafshar li'olam b'lo ruchos, kach yafshar li'olam b'lo Yisrael. Just like it's impossible for the world to be sustained without wind, so too the world cannot be sustained without Yisrael. Rashi, there's a very nice Rashi to the side who says, Shein ha'olam miskayin el b'shvil Yisrael. The whole world is there for Yisrael. V'achay amar kra ki kadal ruchos ha'shamayim pirashti eschem ruchos olam kadish yiskayim sh'timarim lo brisi yomam v'layla chukos shamayim v'aris lo santi. In other words, that Klal Yisrael is essential to the functioning, to the sustainability of the world. And that's what he meant to say, that Klal Yisrael is like the winds, in the sense that the winds are also essential to the sustainability of the world. And that's our source. That's how we know that the winds are essential, that we can't survive without winds, and therefore we don't have to daven specifically for winds. The winds are always going to be there. That's not something that comes and goes. Amar Rabbi Chanina, and so Rabbi Chanina brings this all home, and he says, Hilkach, b'yomosa chama, in the summertime, Amar mashiv haruach, ein machzir naso. So if you happen to mention, right, we don't say anything, Nusra Hashkenz at least doesn't say anything in terms of Mashiv Ruach HaMergeshim in the summertime, right? Starting Pesach, starting soon through Sukkot, we're not going to mention Mashiv Ruach HaMergeshim. So he points out that if you say Mashiv HaRuach, during the summertime when you wouldn't have otherwise said it, Ein Machzir No, so we don't correct you, we don't make you go back and repeat Shemona Esrei, because that's not the essential part of Gvuras Hashanah. Amar Morid HaGeshem, however, if you say Morid HaGeshem, Machzir no so, there we do make you go back. By the way, why is that so terrible to say? Meaning you'd think that the tefillah is for, it would be bad to omit Morid HaGeshem during the winter time because we need the winter. Why is it so? We need the rain. Why is it so bad to mention Moed HaGeshem during the summertime? So this long Tosafot here on the side, among other interesting things in this Tosafot, he quotes Rabbeinu Nisanel, who says Lufi HaGeshamim Siman Klala B'Yomos HaChama, that have rain in the summer is a Siman Klala. So we don't want you davening for a Siman Klala. So that's what we would make you go back and repeat Shemon Esrei. Okay, and then he continues. Rabbi Chanina continues B'Yomos HaGeshamim. If in the winter time, right, the time when we were be asking for rain, Lo Amar Mashiv Aruach in Machzirno. So again, the ruach is not the important part because that we could depend on regardless. So we don't make him go back if he didn't say Mashiv Aruach, but Lo Amar Morid Hageshem Machzirno. So, but if you skip Morid Hageshem, that's essential, and there you have to repeat Shmon Esrei. Velo Ode, and not only that.
It's in the same paragraph.
Yeah, that's right. I mean,
don't to go back, has to say both.
Yeah, once you're going back, you're going to say the full formula. Correct, right? V'lo, not only that, el afilu amar mavir haruach. Even if you affirmatively davened that the wind should stop, we just said the wind is essential, right? So even if you davened that the wind should stop, umafriach atal, or that the tal should stop, we just said the tal also happens without any problem always. So still in machzirno, so you don't have to go back, as Rashi points out, because you're not going to have an effect. The wind is going to happen regardless, the tal is going to happen regardless. You haven't done anything terrible by davening that they stop, because no one's going to listen to you. It's always going to be there. Okay. While we mentioned that Tosafot on the side, interestingly, this Tosafot is kind of chock full of a few interesting things. One of them is towards the beginning, he mentions the famous halacha that we become accustomed to saying certain additions after you've said them Lamed Yom, right? Which has a ramification, halacha l'maisa, which is to say that if you're not sure whether you said Mashiv Aruach Morid HaGeshem or other additions for that matter, if it's within the first 30 days, you could pretty much assume that you weren't accustomed to saying it, and therefore you have to go back. And if it's after 30 days, you could pretty much assume that that you've become accustomed to saying it, and that's why, and therefore you wouldn't have to go back. That's why some places on Simchas Torah they sing Mashiv Aruach Morid HaGeshem to get you accustomed to saying it. That we might change the halacha. And interestingly, in the context of that halacha, Tosfos mentions that if you forgot to say Zachreinu or Mikamocha, the additions that we say during the Aseres Yimei Tshuva, he says you have to go back and repeat them because you're not accustomed to saying that. For us, that doesn't really work, halacha l'maisa, because we paskin that those additions, at least, Zachreinu Chaim and Mikamocha, those are all things that you wouldn't have to go and repeat back. But this Tosfos is assuming, according to those Rishonim who hold, that you would have to repeat Shmon Esrei if you forgot to say Zachreinu L'chaim. And so he ties it in again. He ties it into this idea that since you weren't accustomed to saying it for 30 days, if you weren't sure whether you added it, you'd have to go back to Shmon Esrei, at the beginning of Shmon Esrei, and repeat it. And then the third interesting thing that I plucked out of this Tosfos was that Tosfos quotes a Yerushalmi that plays prominently halacha l'maisa, at least for Bnei Sfard, which is that if you forgot to say Mashiv Aruach Morid HaGeshem, so we all know that you're in trouble, you have to go back to the beginning. But Bnei Sfard, who say Morid HaTal, so the Yerushalmi says that Morid HaTal will count, not ideally, but at least b'di'eved, for Mashiv Aruach Morid HaGeshem. So if you forgot Mashiv Aruach Morid HaGeshem, but you said Morid HaTal, so you've mentioned some sort of liquid falling, the Yerushalmi says that's good enough, and you don't have to go back and repeat Shmona Esrei. That trick doesn't help us, those of us who don't say anything, who don't say Morid HaTal.
You get that from the Gemara, because the Russian says, El Afilu Amar Ruach Morid HaTal, sounds similar to Morid HaTal.
Yeah, maybe, and he's quoting Yerushalmi. He's quoting Yerushalmi, but... Yeah,
doesn't it say that
if
you don't say Morid HaGeshem, you have to go back? So
I don't know. He quotes Yerushalmi, "Begeshem v'hizker shaltal in machzir naso." Maybe you could say that's an argument on this, or maybe the Yerushalmi, maybe this Gemara wasn't contemplating saying Morid HaTal, and Yerushalmi had that in mind. I don't know. Okay. What are we up to? Okay, Tana, now we have a new brisa. Ba'avim uberuchos v'chayvu chachamim lahazkir. So they're all... we just said that. Ma'itam mishim do'av is one of those. No, we didn't.
Right, that's where we're
going. Yeah, that's where we're up to. Tana, ba'avim uberuchos. So not only are we talking about tal and ruach and geshem, but now we're talking about avim, about clouds. So ba'avim uberuchos v'chayvu chachamim lahazkir. So there's no obligation to mention clouds and to mention wind, vimbo lahazkir maskir. But if you happen to mention it, that's also okay. My taima, and why is it not essential? Mishum duo ma'atzri. Because they don't stop. Meaning, again, you could always depend on there being clouds there. You could always depend on there being wind there. Really, the thing that's precarious is the rain. The Gemara says, v'lo ma'atzri. Is it true that they don't stop? They're always defendable. V'atani Rabbi Yossi. Right? It sounds like clouds and wind are going to stop. Maybe, says the Gemara in analyzing this pasuk, it's not clear whether avim and ruchos literally mean clouds and wind. Maybe it's just it's another way of describing rain. Rabbi Yossi says no. Kishu Omer v'lo yamatar hari matar amar. It's about to say in the next pasuk v'lo yamatar that there's no rain. So that's referring to rain. Ha ma'ani makayim v'atzara seshemayim. So what does it mean then when it says that I'm going to stop v'atzara seshemayim min avim v'atzara seshemayim? I'm sorry. Min avim aruchos is not
every day.
Min avim aruchos, I think mistakenly quoted together with the pasuk. V'atzara seshemayim is the pasuk. Yeah. The Gemara then said that means min avim min aruchos, right? Clouds and wind. The Gemara now is analyzing in that and saying maybe that doesn't mean clouds and wind. Maybe it means rain. The Gemara answers no. It's about to mention matar specifically in the pasuk. Ha'mani makayim v'atzaras hashemayim min avim min aruchos. And so therefore, when it says v'atzaras hashemayim, it's referring to clouds and wind. And so that's a question now on what we just said, right? We just said you could always depend on clouds and wind, and this pasuk seems to be saying that Hashem might stop the clouds and wind to appear. So the Gemara now says, okay, let's take this one step at a time. Kasha ruchos aruchos. We have one question with respect to wind. Kasha avim aavim aavim. We have one question with respect to clouds. Avim aavim lo kasha. Don't ask me. Don't. It's not a problem. This seeming contradiction with respect to clouds, where we just said that you never have to worry about them stopping, and the pasuk seems to say that Hashem might stop them. Haba charfi, haba afli. One is referring to the early clouds that precede the rain, and one is referring to the late clouds that come after the rain. And one is always there, right? Charfi, they never stop, right? They're always there, Rashi says. But sometimes I'm not sure what meteorological phenomenon this is referring to, but the clouds that come after the rain are the ones that that can be stopped. That's as far as avim goes. Now the Gemara says ruchos aruchos lokasha, and don't ask me it's not a problem, it's not a contradiction with respect to the wind. The fact that we said wind is always dependable and never stops, and the pasuk seems to be saying that wind sometimes does stop or is sometimes withheld. Ha baruch mitsuya. Normal winds, natural winds of normal amounts, those are always there. Those are always dependable. But a unusual, very strong wind, that's the one that sometimes can be stopped. Gemara says, Ruch she'ena metsuya chazi lebe dari. So the Gemara is troubled by that because we need the Ruch she'ena metsuya. So maybe we should have to daven for that ruach she'ena metsuya, those very strong winds, because we need them for some of the way that we separate the grain from the shaft on the threshing floor. So the Gemara answers, no, that's not such a necessary thing. Efshar b'nafavasa, we could just use a sieve and do it that way. Okay, now we know Korana. New Braisa Tana. Ha'avim v'haruchos, the clouds and the winds, shnios l'matar. They are almost as necessary as rain. Hechidami. What's this referring to? Amar Ula Vitem Rav Yehuda Debasar Mitra. This is talking about the clouds that come after the rain. So again, they're not as dependable, and not, or I should say, they are sometimes there, sometimes not. They're not as dependable as the clouds that come before the rain. Lememra demal yusahi. It sounds like these are helpful things, beneficial things. Vaksiv yitena shemes matar artzacha avak viafar. V'yomer, right, the pasuk says that Hashem will give matar avak viafar. V'yomer u avitem Rav Yehuda, and this is in the Tocha. These are the klalos. Mm-hmm. So we just kind of implied that these are helpful things, things that would be good, and yet the pasuk refers to them as bad things, right? Avak viafar. V'yomer u avitem Rav Yehuda zika debasar mitra. Right, this is talking about the zika de basar mitra, the winds that come after the rain. Rashi points out that it comes in a bad way, and the reason why this is mentioned in the among the kolos is because the winds whip up the dust, and that sticks onto the produce, onto the crops, and that's bad for the crops. So lo kasha, so it's not a question. Hada asa nicha, hada asa razia. So it's all a question of whether the winds are very strong or the winds are a little calmer. If the winds are calm, so then it's not a klala, it's a bracha. And if the winds are very strong, so that they whip up the dust and attach to the crops, that's a bad thing. Hada mala avak, hada lo mala avak. Again, as we just said, if it's very strong, then it's going to whip up the dust, get onto the crops, and if not, not. Fine. V'yom Rav Yehuda, zika debasar mitra kemitra. The wind that's after the rain is like the rain. Iva debasar mitra kemitra. And the clouds that come after the rain are like the rain, meaning these are good things. Shimsha debasar mitra Kitre Mitri. And the sun that comes after the rains is like two rains. Right? I think it's saying that it's a good thing. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Good. Lemute Mai, what's this coming to meaning what's this coming to exclude? Meaning we're saying something very positive about the Shemesh, about the sunlight. But the implication is that maybe there are other forms that are bad. Lemute gilhi delela, some kind of glow at night. Veshimsha dveni karchi, and the sunlight that comes in between clouds, where that's harmful, where that's not good. Again, I'm not sure exactly what meteorological things we're talking about here, but Rashi explains this as sunlight that shines specifically through clouds in a way that's detrimental. Amarava, mali Talga l'ture k'chamisha mitre l'ara. So he says, snow on the mountains is better than, or is as good as, five helpings or five measures of rain on regular land. Shenemar kila shela yomar hu eretz v'gesha matar v'gesha mitros uzo. So the pasuk in Iyov says is referring to snow, and it compares it to geshem matar, geshem, mataros. If you count that up, it's geshem is singular, matar is singular, geshem is singular, mataros is plurals, which is understand to be two. So if you add it up, it's like five times the strength. V'yomer Rava, talga l'ture, matra razio l'iglane, matra nicha l'pere. So again, these are all things that are, talga, he says, is good in the mountains. It's good in the mountains. Matra razio ilane. So a strong rain is good for the trees. Matra nicha lapire, and a light rain is good for the crops. Or pila afilu partsid atute kala mahanyule. So and drizzle. Rashi says gsham dakin, very light rain is good for the grains that are underneath, I guess the seedlings that are underneath the grass. The Gemara says, "Mayor pila urei pila." What does urei pila mean? We just Rashi interpreted it to mean drizzle. Uru piwe, that it's saying that the word uru or piwe comes from the idea of uru piwe, that the seeds from under the ground should arise. It's good for the seeds that are under the ground. Okay, it's not there. Yeah.
Yep. Okay.